Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you downloaded us from. 50,000 of you, we can't all be wrong, so thanks very much for doing it. Do tell your friends about us. Today we have the bees, by the way, are always the guests, as you know. This is 1002B, and our guest this week is the president and CEO of the Appalachian Mountain Club, and makes a argument that to preserve the environment, a revolution must take place in which every person becomes a champion for nature and the outdoors. In The Outdoor Citizen, John Judge coins the term that we just used as his book title, The Outdoor Citizen. I've got to remind you, if you will, because they are so wonderful to do this. Our sponsor, and that's how we can keep bringing you this show, is Persona Nutrition. I'm excited that Persona Nutrition is our sponsor because if you're confused about vitamins, Persona experts cut through the hype and confusion. So you can take the free online quiz and then click to talk to one of the experts. They can help tell you about your needs. It's not a chat box. It's a real person who's a real expert in this area. You can take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. Mypersona.com. By the way, if you put a /Roizen and you order something there, they have these packs. So you get a pack of things to take in the morning and a pack in the evening, where the pack may just be a multivitamin or maybe a multivitamin and vitamin D, whatever is appropriate for you. They will put it in a pack, so it's really convenient for you. But if you go mypersona.com/Roizen, you get the real advantage of a discount for the first and second order, I believe. Thanks very much for downloading us and listening to us. John Judge, as I said, is the author of The Outdoor Citizen. So, John, how'd you get into this field?
Great. Well, thanks, first off, Dr. Roizen, for having me on the show. I started out, my dad was a U.S. Marine and a landscape architect and very much had us outdoors and tending to the land, if you will, including laboring in the family vegetable garden and composting and building trails and so on. So between that and having a scouting background, I'm an Eagle Scout and had terrific experiences working at Scout summer camp growing up. I've always been into the outdoors and in conservation stewardship, and then very lucky to have had this job now for just over 8 years as the CEO of the Appalachian Mountain Club. We're America's oldest outdoors organization, oldest conservation organization. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's been a great, great journey.
And tell me what the key is in your perspective on how to get people healthier and happier by being outdoors. Why should they be outdoors? What is it about the outdoors that makes them happier?
You know, for all of us, there's so much research out there now showing how our DNA is so connected with nature. So from an ecosystem standpoint, we are certainly part of this nature's ecosystem. And whether it be walking underneath a canopy of trees or taking in an ocean breeze or just the feel of grass or the exertion up a mountain trail, each one of these, I think, just really connects to some of the most fundamental parts of our human, DNA, and then it makes you know, being alive so much more joyous. So, with you know, 7 hours a day, kids spending in front of technology, whether it be their laptops for school or Zoom meetings or video games or cable TV, there's just a new generation that needs to get off the couch and get out and connected with the outdoors. And I've just had an amazing experience in terms of listening to folks, and they could be people coming back with PTSD from the war. We've certainly talked with folks that work with us from Walk Off the War and Wounded Warriors, and how rich the experience has been in nature, just, you know, for these solo hikers, but also for the folks who get their families outdoors and say to me, you know, how powerful it was for the first time that they were able to reconnect with their families since they got back from the war. So there are so many, you know, intrinsic values to the nature experience and the outdoor experience. But one of the things now I'd just like to echo to your viewers is the restorative powers of nature and, you know, getting out there. We all need it during these times more than ever. And as you all know, indoors.
John, sure. What is the restore? Why do we get restored by nature? What is it about nature that makes us feel so good?
You know, for many people, it's a great question to unpack, because for each of us, it could be a different experience. For some of us, it's the achievement-driven experience of saying, hey, I want to hike these five mountaintops. In the state of New Hampshire, for instance, there are 48 mountains that are above 4,000 feet. So many people go about hiking these 48 mountains, and it's called the 4,000 Footers Club. And for people getting out there, it's a time for incredible mindfulness, because you can't be, you know, like I am doing now, hanging onto a cell phone by your ear. You can't have the cell phone in front of you or be distracted. You really have to be immersed in nature when you're actively doing something in nature. And that includes, for instance, whitewater paddling, you name it.
So the concept of an outdoor citizen, what else is involved other than you're enjoying the outdoors? There must be some contribution you give back in that phrasing, is there not?
There absolutely is. Number one, it's open to everybody. You know, everybody around the world can be an outdoor citizen, and we're part of this global citizenship. But really understanding that not only do we get the joy and the benefits, including those restorative benefits that we're just talking about, but that we have to contribute something to the stewardship. And that could mean attending to the land, building trails, restoring streams, stream restoration. We've got a great project now up in Maine, northern Maine, where we've restored many miles of trout stream, and their Atlantic salmon coming back for the first time. So projects like
wait a second. You're called the Appalachian Mountain Club. At least you're right. President of that. What are you doing way up in Maine? Is Maine part of this, or how did you stretch Appalachia to Maine?
Right. That's a great question. So the Appalachian region and the Appalachian Trail, goes from Mount Katahdin in Maine all the way down to Springer Mountain in Georgia. And many people will say to you, it starts in Springer Mountain and ends in Katahdin, but you can hike it any way you want. In the Appalachian region, we were actually founded in 1876, long before the Appalachian Trail was created, but we focus on that region and that region basically is on and around the Appalachian Trail. So it stretches from Maine down to Georgia. Our focal point as an organization is more regional. So we've got New England, New York, the Mid-Atlantic, down into Virginia. We've got a really robust community of about 100,000 members and 300,000 participants and supporters, and a very dynamic volunteer corps, about 16,000 volunteers. And those volunteers, Doctor, are some of the case studies for outdoor citizenship. These are people that give back in so many different ways whether it be conservation stewardship or helping other people get outdoors, training folks, bringing families out, you name it. But they're very active in that outdoor citizenship.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
And describe what you mean. Let's do a little bit more, because the book is called The Outdoor Citizen. We're talking to John George. In fact, you can go to theoutdoorcitizen.com to find out more about this fascinating book and the fascinating concept of all of us being an outdoor citizen. And one of your theses in the book is that we really need a revolution to preserve the earth. Go into that a little more, would you, for me?
Sure. When it comes to what's happening today, whether it be environmental degradation or climate change, extreme weather events, the effects that these extreme weather events are having around the world, the issues we're having in terms of resource depletion and environmental damage that we're doing, including air pollution and water pollution, there's an incredible sense of urgency, and we're in the midst of a pandemic now, and we will get through this. But when you look at what's happening with climate change and with the most urgent environmental issues of the day, these are challenges that will affect many, many more people and tragically kill many more people than this pandemic. And that includes floods around the world and forest fires. That includes folks that will die from, not having clean air. And we really have a tremendous amount of work to do. And the only way we can move the needle on this, Doctor, is for us all to work in a collaborative way and in a great alignment. And that's in sharing best practices, that's in trying to figure out which one of our communities around the world, our brothers and sisters that need the most help, and direct our support to those folks. That includes a step change in the way that our financial markets work and really putting some emphasis on impact investing, environmental, social, and governance investing, or ESG, but really thinking out of the box and having a an incredible global movement to address these changes. Because if we're going to wait for DC leadership or other leadership to really help with this transformation, we're going to be waiting a long time. It's got to be, I'm convinced, it's got to be a citizen-led movement where we're keeping, using our own pocketbooks, using our own voices, using our own hands to really move things in the right direction.
And when you say using your own hands, so part of that implies that each of us should be involved in this. How does one get involved in being an outdoor citizen? Is it just you talk to others, or is it you have to join a club like yours, or are there other clubs like yours? How do we, and obviously I didn't realize the Appalachian Trail went all the way from Maine down to Georgia, but is there a cross the country Appalachian Trail as well, meaning another trail of that magnitude?
Right. Yeah, that's an excellent question. In terms of getting involved, if you ever want to get involved with the Appalachian Mountain Club, our website is outdoors.org, and there are membership organizations like the Appalachian Mountain Club in most parts of the country. So you can Google outdoors club or conservation clubs near me, and you'll see a number of them that will pop up. There are the Mountaineers, for instance, is the group out in Seattle. There is the Colorado Mountain Club in Colorado. There's the Zambas in Portland, Oregon. So there are quite a few organizations that do similar work to us. I think where we are unique is that we run a significant eco-lodging and hospitality business. So we've got while we're a nonprofit, we have over 100 overnight facilities, whether they be backcountry lodges or front country tent sites.
And how do one rents those? So that's part of your job as president and CEO is obviously keeping those in wonderful shape and with enough intensity. How full are they? And is this year a really down year or is it an up year? Because people probably want to stay close to home, or is it just an average year, you're always fully rented?
Yeah, you know what? It has been a trying year in some regards because we run something that's called the White Mountain Huts. And they're high mountain huts. There are 8 overnight facilities that sleep anywhere from 35 to 90 people in bunk room format. And you hike up to these huts, have dinner with us, stay overnight. We feed you breakfast the next morning and you're on your way. So because of COVID and physical distancing, we're unable to run these huts because you can't sleep in a bunk room with 30 other folks. So that has affected part of our lodging and hospitality program. But we have other facilities, to your point, that are doing very well. We have cabins. You know, single family or couples are coming up renting cabins, and those are really taking off and doing well. So again, you can find all of those out on the website. And then backcountry campsites, tent camping and shelters are also doing quite well. People are saying, gee, you know, I don't want to do X, Y, Z this summer. And as you said, more close to home. They're throwing the tent in the back and driving up to New Hampshire or Maine, or maybe coming to our new Harriman Outdoor Center about 30 miles outside New York City. We've got another one in Blairstown, New Jersey called Camp Mohegan. So I think you're going to see more tent camping. And what we've seen so far, Doctor, is many, many more people on the trail. So my main concern is that folks are prepared. They have a plan A and a plan B before they go out. They know some of the 10 essentials. Knowing the 10 essentials before you go out is very important. And some of those include, for instance, having water in your backpack, having rain clothes in case it rains, a map and compass, a whistle.
Yeah. So these are essentials so you can survive in case of adverse effects.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
And that's all part of being an outdoor citizen. The book is called The Outdoor Citizen. As you can tell, John George is a good friend of mine. John Judge is the author of this book. It's called The Outdoor Citizen. John Judge, The Outdoor Citizen. And this has been Persona sponsored number 1002B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast. The guest segment is the B. And so that's another of our interesting podcasts. We thought we'd bring you something about outdoors and the outdoor citizen as we go into the season. You can find out more about Persona Nutrition and discover vitamins and supplements personalized to your needs. Take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. Mypersona.com. John, I want to give you last word, if you could. Now, the person who's our engineer, who is Joe, is a total city person, doesn't know anything about the outdoors. What would you tell him? How should he get involved in it? How should he become an outdoor citizen? Is the first thing he should do get the book, The Outdoor Citizen, or should he join a club?
Yeah, I would encourage him to start small and to get out close to home, to figure out what is a favorite local park and find a trail close to home and make it part of your everyday kind of experience and find out what you love. You know, if you want to test out hiking, you want to get on a bicycle, rent a bike and try some gravel biking in the backcountry. You want to get in a canoe and try paddling, but find out what you love and then keep pursuing it. And certainly joining a club is a great way to not only meet people, but also provide you with a calendar of things to do, you know, learning programs, outdoor activities. And it's a blast because as you get into those clubs and join those organizations, you will have volunteer opportunities to give back. So for Joe, who's living in a city, plenty of things to do through the local parks and recreation department, including ways to volunteer and give back. So that's what I would recommend. And if you want to check out some of the citizen science opportunities, there's a program that we work with National Geographic on called iNaturalists. So you can check out iNaturalists and help contribute to the data sets that are being collected on phenology and birds and tree identification and you name it. So there's just a plethora of things to do for Joe and anyone who wants to get outdoors. My recommendation is just take the first step and take it small.
And by the way, I was just kidding about Joe being unaccustomed to the outdoors. So anyway, thank you very much. And we'll be back next week. Remember, we have a great guest lined up for you next week, as we did this week. And I'm going to give you just one of my favorites in the past is Dr. David Sinclair, 968B lifespan. And 973B is Dr. Michael Bruce, the sleep doctor, neither of which has direct relevance to this, but both of which do, because this is such an important thing, getting outside and being an outdoor citizen. TheOutdoorCitizen.com, where you can find out more or get the book, The Outdoor Citizen. Thanks again, John Judge, and thank you for downloading us and listening. And, of course, always thanks our engineer, Joe, for being, one, a good sport, and, two, for doing great engineering. We'll be back next week.